Here's a superstar from Eastern Connecticut State University. It's the president, Dr. Karim Ismaili, who's in his second year as president of the institution now. Dr. Ismaili, a pleasure to have you back. Thanks very much for joining us this morning. And I noticed that Eastern's enrollment is up 5.6%. And I thought about it and I said, that happened after Dr. Ismaili got the job as president. You want to take credit for that?
I don't want to take credit for that. I want everyone at the university to take credit for that. But also, you know, Eastern's reputation, what we do at campus, I think that's what's driving this. You know, Wayne, I see you're wearing your Eastern shirt today. You know, it's a special place. And so the more students that come on campus, we've had our open houses recently, the more they sort of say, wow, this is an incredible place. We're really connected into Willimantic, into Wyndham. Let's come here to study. And their parents, often alums, are obviously driving that decision as well.
When you get an increase like that, 5.6%, where do you put them? Do you build new dorms?
Well, at the moment, so if you remember, we're coming off of COVID, right? There's still a bit of a hangover of COVID. It's a highly competitive environment for higher education. So for us, we want to have the campus vibrant. We want all of our dorms and residence halls filled. So we're okay right now in terms of placement. We'd like to be in a position where we have to think about housing students. You know, we're challenging, but right now we're good. We're at capacity.
You've been here about a year and 3 months now. Has Eastern become what you anticipated when you came here from Massachusetts?
Well, Eastern, for me, was always a gem, right? It's funny how I often hear the term hidden gem, but it was always a gem. So what I've tried to do is just really bring the community together, help them recognize how special the university is, and to have a very positive and hopeful sense of the future. There's so much going on, Wayne, that's positive, whether it's academic programs, the athletic teams. We've got a new turf field that's going into the baseball field and the softball field and soon the rugby field, and we're going to have NCAA flag football, we have women's golf. And so what I will say is there's real energy on campus. And if I've had something to do with that, great. But honestly, that was there before us. And we've had incredible leadership, as you know, Wayne.
Speaking of baseball, you and I were there the day that they renamed the baseball facility, Holowaty Family Field. Let's talk about that and
yes,
the legacy and how this continues on the legacy of the Holowaty name, who really put Eastern Connecticut State University baseball on the national map.
Yeah, absolutely. What a great day that was. And thank you so much for your part in making it special. You know, when I got here, there was a number of alums that had shared with the university that they wanted to name the field in honor of Coach Holowaty. And I said, well, why not? Let's do it. And so all of the work that we did to get to that day was really about our alums coming together, recognizing their coach, recognizing the excellence that he represented for our scholar athletes. And it was incredibly special. And what I will say, Wayne, is on that day, so many players came up to me and thanked me. And I said, thank you. Thank you for putting yourself forward, yourselves forward, and saying, our coach deserves this kind of recognition, which I, of course, supported and our community supported.
It was amazing, too, how many former players came back, which I think is a sign of the mentorship, the father figure, the coaching legend of Bill Holowaty, what he meant to those players and those teams over the years.
No doubt. And what a family, what an incredible coach, what a great opportunity to showcase the best of Eastern that he did for so many years.
And you touched on the turf field. Let's talk baseball first.
Yeah.
That's going to be ready for next spring's baseball season. What's the status right now?
So right now, if you were to come down to the baseball field, you'd see that it was in disarray. The old field's been dug up, but we're going to get the field down for spring. It's exciting. You know, Well, first of all, we wanted to make sure that we had an all-year-round field, right? So there were issues with the grass, and I know purists want the grass, but you know, it was hard to keep up. There were some safety issues there. So with the support of the state, we got $2 million in bond funds to basically re-turf the baseball field, softball field, and eventually rugby field. And what that's going to do is it's going to again provide a great opportunity for our current players, for students and recruits, right, our coaches. Everyone's really thrilled.
And of course, the stadium was first built in 1998, so it's 27 years old, and I don't know if the original grass was still there, but nonetheless, it was time. And then update me on the softball turf project.
That project is underway as well. So that'll be ready for the new season. We are, you know, again, we're very excited. Both of these are NCAA Division III champion winning teams. So we feel like we're in a great position here to continue the tradition of excellence that those teams represent for Eastern.
And you kind of cruised over the flag football thing. That was new information to me. But tell me about that women's flag football coming to Eastern.
Women's flag football. So, Wayne, I didn't really know that women's flag football is a huge sport right now, especially in our part of the in New England, but also in other parts of the country. And we are already getting recruits that are saying, we're coming to Eastern for this team. And what it does is it provides opportunities for athletes who may, you know, who are going to excel in academics, but also not have an opportunity to play sports. Now they're going to play sports in a very growing sport for the country. So we're excited about that.
And you've had men's golf for about 10 years, maybe more, but now you've launched women's golf this fall.
Correct. And again, this is making sure that we're equitable, that we're ensuring that young women have the ability to play sports at the highest level, in Division III here. And it was a no-brainer to move that forward.
Could you explain how that works? Because everybody around here knows how UConn operates as far as the department, the division, they call it, of athletics. When it comes to the high-profile sports, even the maybe quieter sports, when they get athletic scholarships.
Correct.
Well, Eastern doesn't give athletic scholarships. So what do the athletes get for playing at Eastern? Are there some kind of financial aid packages?
Every student that applies to Eastern is eligible for merit scholarships and need-based scholarships. That's the same with our scholar athletes. What do the scholar athletes get? They get an opportunity to play. They get an opportunity to be part of a culture of excellence, both on and off the field. But more than that, they're building their skills. They're involved in teams. And one of the things that we always are mindful of, Wayne, is that the students that are in team sports, and this actually applies to intramurals as well, not only our Division III and NCAA teams, they actually are among the students that are the most retained, that are the most successful, that are most on track to graduate. So, and that's part of the great work that our athletic director does, all our coaches do, to ensure that there's the spirit of competition, but there's also a recognition of teamwork. But mostly from my point of view, that we also focus on studies. Because why are the students here? Ultimately, at our university, they're here to get that degree. So we want to make sure they're on track.
I would say one reason why the student athletes have maybe a better track record academically is because they know they got to keep the grades up or they can't play.
That's right.
Simple as that.
That's right. Yeah. And they're great. And I've loved going to all of the games and events, and the spirit that they show is incredible.
While we're on the topic of athletics, Denise Beerley's birthday is today. The longest tenured women's coach in Eastern history, Mandy King, replaced her.
That's correct.
Lost the opener last night.
Yes.
You want to say a couple of words about Denise and Mandy?
Well, Denise is a legend, and we're going to be celebrating her in a very special way. And I didn't know it was Denise's birthday, so happy birthday, Denise. And Mandy King, yeah, we lost to LaSalle yesterday by 3, but she's great. And just like I had big shoes to fill, right, with President Nunez, Mandy's got big shoes to fill, but I know that Denise is sort of helping with that transition, and Mandy's going to do a great job, and Denise is supporting her all the way.
Eastern has a great connection to the Wyndham community. Of course, you're in the town of Wyndham. What's the Eastern Passport Program?
Oh, the Eastern Passport Program is an amazing program that was actually conceived by our students. And the idea is that students will have, they have literally a passport. It looks exactly like a passport. And we've worked with the businesses on Main Street and in the town to provide students with an opportunity to go into those businesses and get a discount. So this is a way for, well, let me just backtrack here. One of the first things I learned when I came to Eastern and walked sort of in the town was that the businesses really rely on our students. They rely on the university. And they were thinking about ways to get students down to Willimantic. So down the hill, which isn't very far, but it sometimes can seem a little bit, you know, challenging, right? So my idea was, let's figure that out. So I brought students down here. We had pizza at one of our local pizza establishments, get them down here. And then the passport program is another way for our students to come down and patronize our local businesses. We're actually going to have a digital version of that. So just as you might be able to pay for your goods with your phone, we're going to have a way for you to sort of show that I'm in this business and I'm going to sort of be able to frequent you. And it's just, again, a way for us to recognize that Eastern doesn't exist without Wyndham, right? We are hosted by the town. So we want to be sure that everyone understands that we understand that there's a reciprocal benefit to Eastern being here.
I would think also there's a give back where the students get drawn into seeing what some of these downtown merchants provide. They come, they buy using the passport program, they like what they see, and repeat business.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's, we've already seen that. You know, I know that I always talk to students. I say, do you have your passport? Yes, I have my passport. Are you using it? Yes, I'm using it. Where are you going? And then we have a discussion about where they're going. And so it's, again, for me, it's symbolically powerful to have the passport as well. You know, we think about Eastern as providing opportunities. This is an opportunity for our students to engage in the town in a very meaningful way.
Dr. Krim Ismaili, the president of Eastern Connecticut State University, joining us this morning. So what's a typical day like for a university president? Do you sit holed up in your office all day? I got a feeling you're a guy that gets out and walks the campus and shakes hands with some of the students and other staff and faculty on campus.
Yeah, I think being a university president, you could absolutely just sit in your office. It is always incoming emails and messages and things you need to do. But I'm the kind of person where, you know, I want to be available to everyone on our campus, but I also want to be available to everyone that can engage with us, external partners. The reason why I'm here is because there's so much to share about Eastern. So whether it's meeting with, you know, individuals who are legislators, whether it's town officials, whether it's business owners, walking the campus, going to see students is energizing. It really is. And I tell students, and I tell them, for me, I'm here for you. We're all here for you. So whenever you need anything, you just let me know. So that's the way I operate. I'm not in my office a lot. And the reason for that is because I enjoy, and so my wife at home is like, Karim, can't you do some of your emails at work? And I'm like, you know, she knows, I know that that's just not who I am.
Good for her and good for you. And I'm guessing maybe you also see some of the students when you're in front of them. You've been a tenured professor in Eastern's Department of Sociology, Anthropology, Criminology, and Social Work. Does that mean you get up there and teach a class or two from time to time?
I've been fortunate to have faculty invite me to do some special guest classes. But this semester I am teaching my own class, and that class is in our liberal arts core, and it's called Why Universities Matter. It's a freshman class. What I will say, Wayne, and I said this yesterday to a guest speaker who came in, I'm learning more from our students than I think they're learning from me. To sort of recognize what they're motivated by, why they're at Eastern, what a university education or college education means to them, it's really special. and the obstacles they've overcome to get to this point and continue to sort of navigate through is great. But also what I feel is their aspirations. When you hear about their dreams, whether it's sort of serving patients being a nurse, whether it's sort of, you know, working in your own business, whether it's sort of being in sciences and sort of developing new medicine. I mean, these are all amazing opportunities for our students. So for me, it's just a great way to sort of connect Eastern in 2025 to the history and the tradition of universities globally.
I have this vision that a freshman at Eastern goes to class one day, and then you're up in front, and you're speaking to them, and the kid's a freshman, and the kid says, geez, that's the university president talking to me. And right after class, they call mom. They say, Mom, you wouldn't believe who spoke in my class today. That would be pretty neat. I think that's kind of special for the kids to be able to do that.
When I first got here, Wayne, I said that I want to make sure that people aren't intimidated by the office of the president, that titles don't really mean much to me. I want everyone to understand that I'm a human being just like them, and I've gone through trials and tribulations and challenges, as we all have, just like them. That's the leveler. So for me, I've told my students, if you put in a good faith effort, if you demonstrate that you are sort of up on the material and you come to class and you engage the material, you're going to do well. And so I just feel so fortunate to have had my journey lead me to Eastern and to be here where education, where supporting students, where being part of an incredible community, both on campus and off campus, is really why we exist.
Karim, there's a big grant story at Eastern Connecticut State University, isn't there?
There is. We were very fortunate, Wayne, to hear earlier this semester that we received a significant grant from the Department of Education. It's $2.25 million, actually. It's one of the largest grants that Eastern's ever received. And it's called a Strengthening Institutions Grant. And the whole focus of it is to ensure that our students succeed. So we are going to be investing in higher level student services, much more sort of focused advising that's institutional, faculty and staff development. You know, every now and then the university has to look at best practices that are going on across the country, and this is an opportunity for us to bring those to the campus. We have such dedicated staff and faculty and administrators, and it's such a boost to know that we have an opportunity to get to even at a higher level. And from my point of view, and again, I didn't have anything to do with this. This was a grant that was submitted prior to my arrival, and it took a couple of attempts. But when we received that, we're thinking, okay, what a great opportunity. So it's essentially about $500,000 for 5 years, which is going to make a huge difference in sort of developing the infrastructure that supports students.
When Dr. Carter was here, he made a big impact on recruiting international students to Eastern. I remember he'd go to Sri Lanka and bring people back from what used to be called Ceylon. Does Eastern still have a lot of international students on campus?
I think that we probably should have more, to be honest with you. Our international student profile has declined really since COVID. What we're trying to do now is really focus on the students that we have on our campus and give them global learning opportunities. And I'm proud to say that we do that with short-term courses and longer-term semester and year-long opportunities. The idea, so I think what we're doing right now is we're looking at our strategy for how we recruit and where we recruit international students from. So often this is driven by faculty who have connections and networks, and it starts there. So we need to sort of, we will be doing that. We have a new provost, Dr. Cheryl Wilson, who's joining us, and study abroad and thinking about internationalization is something that's at the top of her mind.
Is it harder to get international students now, given the current political climate of the USA making it harder for foreigners to get into this country?
Students from around the world always want to come to the United States. If there are barriers to them getting a visa or sustaining that visa, that's obviously going to have an impact. So from, you know, when I look across higher ed across the country, there's no doubt that there's been declines in international students on college campuses. But there is a definite desire, and I'm hoping that over time we will get back to understanding that having a diverse group of students on our campus, which includes students from around the world, only strengthens the country and only strengthens and enhances the opportunity for our domestic students as well. Because you're learning from different cultures. It's so important.
And speaking of that, cultural engagement, you have an event coming up on Wednesday of next week involving Native Americans. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so, you know, as you know, Eastern exists on land that was stewarded by Indigenous people. And when I came here, one of the questions I asked was whether Eastern had a land acknowledgement statement. So what we're going to do on Wednesday is we're going to officially talk about Eastern's new land acknowledgement, which is just it's a way to recognize and respect the longstanding and unique and enduring relationship between Indigenous peoples and their traditional territories. It honors their past, their present, the future connections to land, and that Eastern is so fortunate to be here. And of course, we know the history, right? This is an opportunity for truth-telling and education. It's an opportunity for a call to action and accountability, but it's also an opportunity for us to learn. And so we're going to have a special ceremony on Wednesday where we will discuss why this is important. We're going to talk about the resilience, the cultural heritage, the enduring presence of Connecticut's Indigenous peoples.
And I love the fact that you've got a keynote speaker, Beth Regan, who's been on my show a couple of times, including as a respected Mohegan tribal elder. She is pretty high on the food chain down there at Mohegan Sun, and she also, along with her sister Kathy, great basketball players, and they went on to become great coaches too, as they represent Eastern Connecticut State University proudly. And then a week later, on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, November the 26th, Eastern has its annual Day of Giving. Tell me
about
that.
Day of Giving. What a special day every year. You know, we're pleased to open the campus to anyone who wants to have a Thanksgiving meal. That's really what it's all about. And it's such a proud day for Eastern. Look, we do this once a year. The needs are every day. And we know right now that families are struggling. So whatever we can do to give those families an opportunity to sit down and enjoy a meal together at the university speaks to sort of who we are as an institution, but it also unfortunately speaks to the need that it's very difficult to fill. So I'm proud to be, you know, on the board of the Covenant Soup Kitchen. I'm proud to be supporting everything that we can do with our students and their engagement in the community. But, you know, again, we know that it's a very difficult time economically for so many families. So this is just a way of, it's a tradition that we will always have and continue.
And speaking of the Covenant Soup Kitchen, a week from today, I'll be having Ray Aramini on from the Covenant Soup Kitchen, who, by the way, is very prominent with Eastern Connecticut State University rugby.
Great
what
guy.
A wonderful give back he is.
Oh, my God. Ray is incredible, selfless. The rugby team is all over the place.
And very popular, too, on campus.
Very popular, doing great work in the community. And Ray sort of sets that tone. He's a real role model. And the team rallies around him. And, of course, there's all sorts of events that he has spearheaded, including the one in February where I've said I'm going to go in the water. So it's going to be great. But Ray is great. He exemplifies the best of Eastern.
Now wait a minute. We just got a little information there. You're talking the Plunge for Hunger.
The Plunge
at Lauder Park,
yes.
And that's usually the first weekend in February. So the president of Eastern is going to actually jump in the Natchog River for the Plunge for
I
Hunger.
I am going to. Yes,
and,
I am.
And the proceeds benefit the aforementioned Covenant Soup Kitchen.
I've received some good tips from Ray on how to survive that. Wow. It'll be fun.
Wow. Yes, and he'll be out there before it begins, standing in waist-deep water with a little bullhorn telling people what's going on, too. But it's a fun event, and again, rugby's, Eastern Rugby is a big part of that. The Day of Giving, specifically, where does it happen for people to get a Thanksgiving meal, and what time does it happen?
Yep, it happens in Hurley Hall, which is our dining hall on campus. We are going to be gathering to set everything up at 10:30, and the meals will be starting to served around noon. So that's and again, we're really proud to do that.
Let's talk about Eastern Small Business Resource Center. You just concluded the first Small Business Academy for local entrepreneurs. Another example of Eastern giving back to the community.
Yeah, so this is an opportunity for, we partnered with Liberty Bank, and we've developed this academy. As you said, Wayne, you know, our first graduates of the academy were earlier this week. I was very proud to give those individuals their certificates. And the idea is really simply to support entrepreneurs of all kinds in ways that help them with, you know, marketing, tax preparation, thinking about how they can provide outreach and services to the town. So the variety of individuals and entrepreneurs that participated is great. We're going to run another version of this in the spring, and it's popular, and it's the beginning. And like I said, this is all about Eastern connecting and supporting our budding entrepreneurs.
Final session was on November the 11th, and the Dean of Education and Professional Studies, Niti Pandey, who we had here on the air a few weeks ago, talking about that, she said the Academy was a great opportunity for emerging local entrepreneurs to learn about running a small business, network and each other, and engage with Eastern faculty, community partners, and students. Upon completion, SBA participants qualify for a $5,000 line of credit through Liberty Bank, the Eastern Small Business Academy. You've also got a nursing simulation lab at Eastern. You know, I remember when I came to town here, Eastern was basically a teacher's college. You've gone well beyond that. A lot of the Connecticut State Colleges have done that too. But tell me about the nursing simulation lab.
Well, the nursing simulation lab is a very special facility. It's at Wyndham Hospital. We've worked very closely with Hartford Healthcare to and the state through a Health Horizons grant to create a state-of-the-art facility where our nursing students will be in an environment where they can learn on sort of in an environment that effectively replicates what they will experience when they're nurses. So there are incredible facilities there. There's everything is exactly as it would be in a hospital, with the exception of the fact that there aren't humans, but there are mannequins. But I will tell you, Wayne, those mannequins are the technology that goes into them. They are about as human as a mannequin can, as a non-human thing can be. Temperature fluctuates. There are scenarios that are run. You know, our nursing students are in an environment where they're learning. If they make a mistake, of course, it's not a perilous mistake, because that's the point of the simulation lab. We had the governor here and Jeff Flax, the CEO of Hartford Healthcare here, among many others, our chancellor, and everyone at Eastern, our nursing program, came together to really showcase this opportunity for our students. And of course, our students, you know, are going to be graduating from a program that, yes, it's about nursing, but it's also, they're going to have that foundational liberal arts experience.
So that's another direction Eastern is headed in. Again, when I came here, it was Willimantic State University, Willimantic State Teachers College, used to be called a normal school. Ballpark figure, of the Eastern current enrollment, how many of those students do you think will become teachers, which is what this school was founded as, and it branched out beyond that?
Yeah, so yes, you're right. We've become a comprehensive university, and I'm not sure about the exact number, Wayne. The Department of Education on our campus and the teaching profile you mentioned are sort of the one of our schools. Education is a fundamental part of our identity, and our education faculty continue to be providing opportunities for students to engage in placement opportunities across the region. So I can't give you the number, but it's a significant proportion of the students that we have on our campus. And it continues to be vibrant and really important to our identity.
Monday morning, we had on the new campus president of Connecticut State Community College, Quinebaug Valley, the facility in Willimantic, located right across the street. Dr. Marianne Joukowsky was our guest. What's the relationship between Eastern Connecticut State University and Connecticut State Community College, Quinebaug Valley, which some of us remember as QVCC?
Yeah, so it's strong. We have lots of opportunity. I have met with President Joukowsky twice. She actually came to the simulation lab on a tour a couple of weeks ago. I've been out to the campus there and also here. And so what...
They're meaning Danielson.
Yeah. Danielson, yeah. So what I think the vision that we are developing is an absolutely seamless transfer from CT State for students who want to come to Eastern. But also what we want to do is we want to get our CT State students on our campus before they graduate from CT State so they can imagine themselves on our campus. We have a strong advising connection already. I think there's more that we can do, and President Joukowsky and I are working actively with our colleagues on our various campuses to do that.
What role do you play in spreading the word about Eastern Connecticut State University to local high school students? And if it's not necessarily you, I'm sure you're part of that, but yeah. How do you get the word out to schools across the state, I'm talking high schools, to get people interested to say, this is the place you want to go?
Yeah. So all of our outreach is both human outreach, where we have our admissions counselors fanning out across the state and even beyond the state to showcase the best of Eastern, why students should come. Just yesterday, we had about 100 guidance counselors from schools on our campus, where we gave them an opportunity to experience the campus so that they could go back and they could talk to students who are interested in higher education so that they had a sense and a feel for Eastern. And I was really proud to have an opportunity to welcome them, and we're going to have another event like that. So, you know, as I said, the thing about Eastern is we want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to engage with our campus. Our open houses, the guidance counselor event, our admitted student days, all of those are really important in sort of giving students and their parents and guidance counselors an opportunity to get a sense of the community. When I talk about Eastern, I talk about the community. Eastern is a community in a community. And so you can't really feel that digitally on your screen, on your computer. Come to Eastern, come to one of our tours. We can set up a tour for you whenever you'd like. Visit Eastern. I will say that if you come to our campus, you will be blown away by what we have to offer and by the beauty of our campus.
And I'll bet you showed them the Fine Arts Instructional Center, which, by the way, happens to be where you got inaugurated as the president of Eastern Connecticut State University.
We did. What a beautiful facility. And we have so many.
Karim, a pleasure to have you back in the studio again. Keep up the good work. Nice to see you this morning.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
Dr. Karim Ismaili, the president of Eastern Connecticut State University.